Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Wow, everybody's dialing at the last minute. Awesome. Welcome back. So quick announcement. The our URL, our host, the ISP that hosts the website and the workbooks and all that stuff, it was brought to my attention about 20 minutes ago that that website is down, which means if you're trying to download the workbook for the class right now, likely you're not going to get in because the USP, the ISP is down. By some sort of stroke of luck and genius, my marketing admin guru, Ryan, says that he emailed everybody the workbook handout yesterday. So, excuse me, if you're one of the people that does not have the workbook in your hand because you can't get on the website, look at your emails, search your emails yesterday, and hopefully the workbook is there for you. All right. So with that being said, we have what I think is one of the call today and the topic today, in my completely biased, not so humble opinion, is that the call that we're taking on today is one of the easiest and one of the most powerful of all the curriculum. What you're doing today is very easy to learn. It's very easy to absorb. It's unbelievably powerful. It's really a foundational piece. And congratulations that you survived last week. I do my best to deliver the verbal pacing and leading structure as smooth and easy as I can. And I don't know, some people think it's tough. So before we jump into a bunch of new stuff, let's do a little check-in. And any ahas that you've had from last week, anything that you got out of the verbal pacing and leading game, anything that you got out of playing the rapport game last week, any questions, any breakthroughs, any ahas, anything? Star 6 on your phone, it'll unmute you. Remember, say your name and your city so everybody gets to know who you are and hopefully send you some referrals. So questions, comments, anything before we jump in and do some new stuff?
Hi, Joe. Amanda here in Washington.
Hi,
I am unable to log into your website to get the workbook. I keep getting an error.
Gotcha. So you you missed the first 1 minute of this call. So the website, it was just brought to my attention 15, 20 minutes ago. The website is down.
Okay.
It's not us. It's not us. It's the USP. The ISP, the host, the company that we pay to keep the website live.
Mm-hmm.
They have a technician on it right now. They're working on it right now. And
okay.
My admin guy, for whatever dumb stroke of genius, tells me that he emailed everybody directly the workbook for this class yesterday. So check your email, check your spam filter, blah, blah, blah. You should have it in your email right now from yesterday.
Okay, I'll continue to look.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi,
yep.
Joel.
Hi,
it's Debbie from New York. I also don't have it, and I didn't get anything.
You don't have an email from yesterday either.
No.
No, not if it came through via Joel Rico, no, unless he sent it from another.
It could have come from info@, instead of Joel@. So that's the one that he's supposed to use.
Right, but I just put in Joel Rico, so if it was info@JoelRico, it would still come up, and I didn't get any work.
Bummer. Well, I have my guys working on it, and I have the people at the USP, at the ISP working on it. So sadly, there's not a bunch I can do about that right now. And because my email, my personal email, is hosted at that same ISP, I can't email it to you right now either. So what we're doing today, however, even though you're not going to have those examples in front of you, I think that what we're doing today is easy enough that you should be able to follow along, and we'll get you the workbook as fast as we can. So you'll have the workbook soon. You'll have the recording for this call. And what we're doing today doesn't really require a whole lot of notes. I think you'll find that it's going to be pretty easy to follow. We're just doing a couple of basic structures. My request, just to keep you engaged in this, is that you just pull out a blank sheet of paper and there's just a couple of easy notes that you're going to write. It'll all make sense. It'll be super easy. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments, ahas? Anything while we're here? All right. So as usual, we're going to start out by doing a little rapport game, focus a little bit on the rapport game. So remember everything, all of these techniques that you're learning here, they are easy and smooth and easy to absorb. They all work beautifully when you get in rapport first. If you don't get in rapport first, none of these techniques will work at all. It doesn't matter how good you are, how skillful you are, how beautifully scripted they are. It doesn't make any difference. In rapport, they work perfectly. With no rapport, nothing works. So that's why we always talk about rapport first. All right, so we're taking on a new piece of the rapport game. So what we've done so far is we've taken on the rapport game, the verbal rapport game. Right? They talk loud, we talk loud. They talk fast, we talk fast. They talk softly, we talk softly. So we've been playing the rapport game on that level. So today we're taking on a new level of the rapport game, and we're taking on body language. So obviously this doesn't work over the phone. We can't see them. When we're in person, now that you're better at getting in rapport over the phone, you're better at booking the appointment, now when we're face-to-face, we're going to take it on the realm of body language. So we're going to break this into three components, three parts of body language. The first one we're going to call gross body movements. That means large, not disgusting. Large body movements. Stand up, sit down, cross your arms, cross your legs, fix your glasses, move your body. The second category is facial expressions. Smile, frown, whatever. The third category, hand gestures. All right, so write those three down. Body language rapport is large body movements, facial expressions, and hand gestures. All right, so here's the trick. Here's the guide. So large body movements, we want to take a 20 to 30 second delay. So that means if you're sitting at the kitchen table and you're all leaning forward, you're reviewing the comps, ooh, look at this one. Oh, this one didn't sell. Well, look where this one sold, right? We're all excited, leaning in, checking out the comparables, and all of a sudden the client leans back in their chair, crosses their arms. Huh. Well, smokes. It sounds like we should be in the $400,000 range, I guess. Right, then you wait 20 or 30 seconds, and then you lean back in your chair and cross your arms also. And if possible, agree with them and say, well, yeah, that sounds about right. 200 a foot, 2,000 square feet. Yep, I think you're right. 400,000 sounds like the right place to start. So gross body movements, 20, 30 second delay, and then do something similar. Now, I say similar, this doesn't mean exact. Remember when you were a little kid and somebody mimicked you and whatever you did, they did, and stop it, stop copying me, right? Not that. Do it too close, then it'll feel weird. So, you know, the thing is to find a place that feels comfortable. For example, you're sitting to where you can see, you're on sofas, you can see each other, and your legs are crossed. And the client crosses their leg. Well, first of all, that's a good sign. Now they're following, they're moving to get into rapport with you. Great sign. So what do you do? I don't know. I wait 20 or 30 seconds and then cross your legs in the other direction. Something. If the client does something like they keep bringing their hand up to their face to fix their glasses. Right? They keep pushing up their glasses, putting them on, taking them off, lifting them up, putting them down, right? Reading glasses. They come off and on, up and down, up and down, up and down. But you're not wearing glasses. So what do? I don't know. You wait 20 or 30 seconds and bring your hand up to your face and rub your eye, something that's in the ballpark. Now, you don't have to, these are not exact. You don't have to do everything they do. The goal is to just kind of melt into something similar. All right, so large body movements, 20 to 30 second delay. The next level is facial expressions. These are zero delay. The client smiles, you smile. You're looking at the comparables and the client goes, oh, $150,000 for that house, what? Then you do the same thing. You, oh, I know, I saw that this morning. I can't believe it. Right? This is what happens when you're walking through the grocery store and you see, this is what I do. You see a little, somebody left their little infant in the shopping cart and the kid looks at you and goes, hi, and they smile and wave. What do? You smile and wave back. Right? When you're feeding your kid and they're like, I don't like broccoli. I know, me either, but we should have a piece. Right? So facial expressions are right away. Your client makes a weird face, make it with them. They smile, smile with them. They frown, frown with them. They look shocked with them right now. Okay, and then the last piece is hand gestures. So two things about hand gestures. One is hand gestures are only when it's your turn to speak. So when the client is speaking, take note. Take note of a couple of things. How big are their hand gestures? Are they little tiny, like they're solving a Rubik's Cube in front of their chest? That, like Tyrannosaurus Rex hands, little tiny hands right in front of their chest? Or are they more relaxed and shoulders wide and you know, hands at shoulder length, you know, right in front of them? Or are they Italian and they're full arm stretch, like they're, you know, wrestling a beach ball? Like, what's the scope of their hand gestures? How big? How animated? Or maybe they're a super triple analytical and they have their hands in their pockets and they speak with their hands in their pockets. Their hands never leave their pockets. Those are very different communication styles. And then notice also if there's anything in particular that they're doing. I know a friend of mine, when he speaks, he keeps making this gesture like for impact, and he'll gently punch one palm with his other fist. I have another friend that does this thing when he's making a point. I don't know what this is. He'll take all the fingers on one hand and put all his fingertips together like his hand looks like a bird, and he'll tap it into the palm of his other hand, like making a point into the palm. I don't know what that is, but he does that. So if your client's making some specific gesture, take note. Do something similar. Now, when it's your turn to speak, and your client is Italian, and they're making these gigantic hand gestures, then it's your turn to speak. If you're talking with your hands in your pocket and you're making no hand gestures, you're out of rapport. So do something similar. Okay, so that's the thing for us to focus on this week in the rapport game. Do your best to notice, right? It all starts with awareness. Do your best to notice what these are. So keep playing the other games. Keep paying attention to how loud they talk, how fast they talk. Do they have an accent? Keep playing all those games. And now also notice what kind of hand gestures are they using. Pay attention to their body movements. If they stand up, 20 seconds later, I'm going to stand up. They cross their legs, I'm going to cross my legs 20, 30 seconds later. Or uncross my legs, something. So last thing I want to say about this is not an exact science. And the piece of this is moving to get in rapport with the client. But honestly, the really big piece of this is simply to have you have more elements upon which you're focused on the client. What this does, it gives the client, it demonstrates to the client that you are totally focused on them. And you have all had this experience at some point that when you're speaking to some salesperson, they're trying to pitch you. Well, let me show you the blue one. Holy cow, if you buy it today, I can give you $3 off. Right? They're totally focused on their pitch. They're not focused on you. So not only do these tools build rapport, they subconsciously tell the client, demonstrate to the client that You're in their tribe. You're one of the pack. You're part of the crew. It also models to the client that you're totally tuned in. You're listening. You're on their side. All right. Any questions, comments, anything, anything about any of that? Excuse me, before we jump into some stuff today. No, no questions? All right. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second and cough. All right. So a couple of quick questions on rapport before we move. Just some food for thought. What does it mean when somebody crosses their arms? Right? You're talking to them and they cross their arms. Well, traditionally, a lot of people teach that that means that the client's not listening. Really what most people teach is that's a sign that they're protecting their heart. They cross their arms in front of their chest. They fold their arms. It means they're closing themselves off. They're protecting their heart from your message. It could mean that. It could also mean they're cold. So the truth is, it's a sign, it's a symbol, yet it's not definitive proof that they're not listening. Maybe they're cold, right? So it's just a sign. What does it mean when somebody's really fidgety and they can't sit still? Maybe they're tapping their leg, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, tapping their leg. What does that mean? Does it mean that they're having some anxiety? Maybe. Does it mean that that you're going too slow? Maybe. Maybe it means they have to go to the bathroom. I have no idea. So I just want to bring this to your awareness that those things don't always mean what we think they mean. They're just clues. My request is that we just pay attention. And the more deeply we pay attention to the client, the easier it is to just sync up and get connected and to get in rapport. All right. One more time. Questions, comments, anything before we jump?
Hi, Joel. It's Debbie.
Yes.
You had mentioned in this call that someone has their hands in their pockets. It could mean that they're very analytic. So are you saying that that you can tell someone's personality profile, their personality type by their language? Is there other clues that you can share with us?
Well, those are all signs, and what I feel is more important than putting somebody in a box. So why do we do that? Why do we want to put somebody in a box? Why do we want to say, oh, that person's a high C? Oh, that person, if you're KW, you might recognize this. Not everybody on this call is KW. KW used to use a thing called the AVA. And we would put ourselves in boxes, and people would say, "Oh, I'm a 9964. I'm a 9911. I'm a 5387." And those numbers are significant. They represent our typical response for certain scenarios. Why do you want to know that? Why is it important to know that your client is a high C or a high D or they're whatever? Why do you want to know that? Well, I want to know that
presentation.
Yeah, I want to know that so I can speak their language. I want to know it so I know how the client communicates. I know if the client is high D, then they want to get to the point. Don't fill my head. I don't have time for this. Get to it. Give me the bottom line. Let's go. So if my client's a high D, I want to deliver inside their style. So I think the shortcut to all that is I don't need to know if the client's a high D or a high C. I don't need to know. I don't need to put them in a box. What's more helpful for me is just to notice right now, in real time, how are they behaving? Because me personally, I'm high C. I'm actually C, high C, D. So I'm high C. I'm triple analytical, like over the top. However, I get frustrated too, and when I'm frustrated, I turn into a D. When I'm late, I turn into a D. When I'm on a timeline, I turn into a D. So if somebody knows me as high C and they deliver to me in high C, well, that might be the space I'm in. It might not be the space I'm in. So instead of saying, oh, this person's a high C or a high D or they're a this or they're a that, sure, if you're going to have a long, if this is somebody you're going to hire, yes. If this is an appointment setting call and I got a minute, I don't have time for that. The only thing I have time for is to notice their behavior right now and to mirror and match their behavior right now. And if they're talking loud and fast and they're in a hurry, great. I'm going to be loud and fast in a hurry because that's the space they're in. Does that make sense? Oh, she remuted. Okay,
yes,
I'm going to
assume
that.
I was really asking in terms of the presentation, the listing presentation.
Yeah. So did I answer your question?
Well,
or did
yes.
I miss it?
Well, you said to sort of ignore their personality type, and I find that when I know their personality type, I'm able to make a better presentation.
Sure. And keep in mind that the personality type is just one indicator. And my point is, I'm high C, yet when there's something I know a lot about and I'm comfortable or I'm in a hurry, I act like a D. So if you know that I'm a high C and you develop a high C presentation for me, because that's how I was on the phone when we set the appointment, well, you might be my fourth appointment. I'm no longer high C. Now I'm high. By the time you show up, I'm high D. So my concern about putting people in a box, okay, this is a high C client, I need a high C presentation, is that changes. I'm not high C for everything. People aren't that way all the time. So what I think is more powerful is just to really pay attention to how they are right now in the moment. And if right now in the moment they're frustrated, then I'm going to respond from that field.
Got it. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome. Great question. I love that you asked that. And then I heard another voice. Was there another question in there before we jump in? I thought I heard a gentleman's voice pop up with a question in the middle of all that. Okay, I guess not. All right, so we're doing three techniques today. And all the techniques are in the category of what I like to call relationship and choice. So consider this. Almost all of our communications are nothing more than a string of opinions, judgments, and subjective personal observations. If that doesn't make sense, spend 5 minutes on Facebook. This is great. That's great. Let me show you this. This is beautiful. That's horrible. I love this. I hate that. This is a great person. That's a horrible person. We should do this. All of that is opinions, judgments, and subjective personal observations. Even the news is opinions. So it's cold in here. It's hot in here. That's an opinion. That's a subjective personal observation. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm a 49ers fan. I'm a Blazers fan. Subjective personal observation. Oh, you poor thing. You're sniffling. You need a bowl of chicken soup. You know what? The Democrats don't know what they're doing. You should vote Republican. You know what? The Republicans don't know what they're doing. You should vote Democrat. Those are all subjective personal opinions and judgments. Here's the thing. All of these opinions, judgments, and personal observations, all of them, are they themselves open to being judged? So no matter what personal observation I make, it's open to your judgment. When I make that statement, Mercedes-Benz is the best car in the whole world, some of you are going to go, yeah, they're amazing. And some of you are going to go, are you kidding? For that kind of money? Jesus, I'd buy a rental house for that kind of money. When I make a personal observation, it forces the listener to judge it. The Labrador, the Border Collie, is the best dog in the whole world. It's an opinion. When we spew opinions, it forces the other person to decide, do I agree with that? Do I not agree with that? Is that good? I agree with it a little bit. Well, maybe not really. Making these judgment statements force other people to judge. So what happens to the listener when I say XYZ is the best baseball team of all times? Well, now the listener has to think, well, are they? Are they not? Do I care? Do I even care? Is it even baseball season? Do I care who the team? Why are we talking about baseball? That's a horrible team. Like, it forces them to be in that position. So what other options are there if we're not spewing our own opinions? Well, we're going to do three of those techniques right now. The first one, you want to write this one down, the first one is called a conditional bind. Conditional bind. And a conditional bind is a relationship between a pace and a lead. Aren't you glad that we did pacing and leading last week? Right? Now you're all pacing and leading experts. Now we're going to see how easy they are to play with. So this conditional bind is and I just got a text from the marketing guru who says the website is up. So if you need to download the handout really quickly, I'm hearing the website is up and available, and you can do that right now. Perfect. All right. So a conditional bind is a relationship between a pace and a lead, and it's always this relationship. The relationship is if, then. If pace, then lead. That's it. So what's a pace that we know for sure? Well, let's say you're taking a buyer and they're out looking at properties. And the buyer says, you know, we're kind of tight on money and we're right at the edge of what we can qualify. And, you know, we need to get a really good deal on this property because it's all we have. Right? So now I know that this is not a gajillionaire building a mansion in their dream house. This is somebody who's being frugal and purchasing a house. So how can I enroll this person in this movement without having a personal judgment or an observation or an opinion that's going to cause them to judge? I'm going to say, if pace, then lead. In this case, I might say, so if you need to get a good deal on a house, pace, right? They just told me that. What happens when I say, if you need a good deal on a house? Yeah, yep, I do. Right? The pace causes them to generate agreement. If you want a good deal on a house, then we'll need to act fast because the best deals sell quickly. Oh, okay. That's a lead. If pace, then lead. Notice the pace generates a subconscious yes from the client. How about for your seller? As you're at the listing presentation, if you want to net the most money possible for this house, ding, 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 yes, 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 then we should call the house cleaner and the stager and the photographer and make it look as good as possible. Right? This is what I want them to absorb. And inside the relationship of pace and lead, when the pace is accepted, if you want the most money possible, yep, I'm a yes, then you should probably follow my advice and do this thing over here. Now, feel the difference between me saying or you saying, we should call a professional stager. We should pay for a professional photographer. We need to have this house staged. That's an opinion. So delivered inside this construct by starting with an if pace, yep, if yes, then you should try this. I'm starting with a yes, and the if-then construct is a relationship that's almost always accepted when the pace is accepted. All right, so for you personally, if you want to be in control of your business, then you should lead generate more regularly. Now, even if you're struggling with lead generation, the little voice between your ears just said yes. If you want to be in control of your business, then you know you must lead generate more consistently. Yeah, I know I do. Even if you're not doing it, you just agreed. How about for your kids? You know, if you want to go to the game this weekend, yeah, I do. I have the big game. I want to go to the game. If you want to go to the game this weekend, then you want to finish your homework by Friday. So we're doing a couple of things. We're opening with a pace, which is a guaranteed yes. And if this is true, yes, it's true, then you should do this over here. Then you should see this. Then you already know that. Then we need to try this. Then lead. Okay, relatively straightforward. All right, so questions, comments, just star six, jump in here and interrupt me anytime. There's two ways to do this. That was the first way. That was if then, that was a conditional bind, an if then, as a statement. If pace, then lead. Now, there's another way to do it, which is if then as a question. This way is a little smoother. So what was the first example that I just did? The first one was, if you want a good deal on the house, then we need to act fast because the best deals sell first. Now what if we did that as a question? I could say, you could say to the client, would you like to get a good deal on a house? Yes, we do. Then we'll need to act fast because the best deals sell first. Okay, now that's the same thing in two different structures. The first one, if you want a good deal on a house, then we need to act quick. The second one, would you like a good deal on a house? Yes. Then we need to act quickly. Same thing, two different structures. So the second example was, as a statement, if you want to be in control of your business, then you have to lead generate consistently. As a question, do you want to be in control of your business? Yes, I do. Then you'll need to lead generate consistently. See how that works? Now, notice as a question, it doesn't have to be a yes-no question. I could say, I'm curious, at what age would you like to retire? I'd like to retire by 50. Great. Then we should probably start buying some investment real estate for you right now. Notice it doesn't make, here's the key, doesn't make any difference what their answer is. At what age would you like to retire? 35. Well, then we should be buying some investment real estate for your portfolio right now. At what age would you like to retire? I don't know, 80. Great, then we should be buying some investment real estate for your portfolio right now. The beauty of this as a question is, what's the pace? The pace is their answer regardless. It doesn't make any difference what their answer is. How much money are you hoping to net by selling this house? Well, $275,000. Wow, then we should get it on the market right away. Right? Their answer becomes the pace. All right, so that was our first one. That was a conditional bind. Conditional means if the pace is accepted, if pace, then the lead's accepted. If pace, then lead. All right, any questions about that? Relatively straightforward, I think. Okay. The next one, our next relationship structure. This might be my favorite one of all times. This one is called a single bind. So that was conditional bind. This one is single bind. So single binds, again, represent a relationship between a pace and a lead, except this one is going to be a slightly different structure. This one's going to be the more you pace, the more you lead, or the more you pace, the less you lead. Or if you have your handout in front of you, there's a list of single bind words there that say, the more you pace, the shorter you lead. The easier you pace, the longer you lead. It doesn't make any difference. Any order, mix them all up, who cares? The beauty here is in the relationship. So, and remember, we always start with a pace. So listen to this example. The higher you hope to drive the sales price, pace. Now, again, I really want to sink this in about the pace. What happens when we say this to a client? Well, the higher you want to drive the price, I want to drive the price high, yep. Notice, I'm generating a yes. The higher we hope to drive the price, the better a job we'll need to do cleaning and staging. Well, that makes sense, sure. Now, a couple of things are happening here. Number one, we're starting with a pace. And number two, there's this relationship that driving up the sales price means better job cleaning and staging. Well, that makes total sense. See how those two are related. So not only are they agreeing to the pace, high sales price, and they're agreeing to the relationship, high sales price means the house needs to look good because we're going to have it professionally cleaned and staged. Well, that makes sense. Then they agree to having the house professionally cleaned and staged, right? The whole goal here of sales is to lead them to make decisions that make their goals come true. Having the house cleaned and staged makes the house sell easier, faster, for more money, right? That's in their best interest. So this structure, example number two, says the more committed you are to growing your business. Yeah, I'm committed for sure. The more committed you'll need to be in generating new leads. Oh yeah, I guess I do need more leads. Right? Leads, listings, leverage. So again, the structure, the more you pace, the more you lead. The more you pace, the more you lead. The more you pace, the slower you lead. The more you pace, the faster you lead. The faster you pace, the slower you lead. Whatever. Any combination. In fact, the more excited you are about going on vacation, the harder you want to work now so you can relax in Hawaii with a clear mind. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I am excited about going on vacation, and I do want to relax with a clear mind. Good. I should bust it out right now and get all this stuff done. Okay. All right, last example, then I'm going to give you a little switch. The faster, this is self-talk, me talking to myself, you talking to yourself. The faster I want my goals to come true, ding, 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 pace, the more I dedicate myself to living my schedule, or the more I must dedicate myself to living my schedule. All right, so what's the goal? The goal, be dedicated to your schedule. It's the thing that it plans your goals to come true. Okay, so that's a single bind. The more you pace, the more you lead. The more you pace, the less you lead. And then just for fun, there's a tagline there if you have the handout in your hands that says, binds that bind binds. So you can hook two of these together or three of these together and say something like, the more committed you are to getting a high net profit from this sale, the better a job we'll need to do cleaning and staging. And the better we do cleaning and staging, the more easily it'll be for a buyer to fall in love and pay our price. Right? So that's just two back-to-back. That's just two single binds together. Okay. Let's take a little breather. Feels like I'm going kind of fast. Questions, comments, ahas, anything, examples. What's going to be fun here is in another 10 minutes when we're at the end of the third relationship structure, we're going to mix all these together and you'll see like crazy magic is going to ensue. It's going to blow your mind. Okay, no questions so far? All right. The third So remember, today is relationship and choice. So the first two that we just did were both relationship. Conditional bind, if pace, then lead. Single bind is the more you pace, the more you lead. Now, those are both relationship. Now, this one is choice. So this one is choice. It's called a double bind. So a double bind is to give your client two choices. The most basic version of a double bind is, would you like this lead or that lead? It's pretty much always between two leads. That's it. Should we put the house on the market today, or do you want to wait till Monday? Here's the question. Do you care? Does it matter which one of these they choose? No. In either case, you just took a listing. Right? Should we make the house go live on MLS today, or should we wait until Friday? Let's wait until Friday. Great, sign here. So by framing the choice between list it today or list it Friday, what are you containing? We're assuming a signature is happening. I'm assuming the listing is forthcoming. By framing the choice between would you like this lead or that lead, it moves the client forward. Now, is this guaranteed? No, nothing's guaranteed. Nothing. It's possible the client could say, well, wait a minute. I'm not really sure we're ready to do that yet. Okay. However, the more we simplify the direction for the client, don't give them 1,000 choices. Say, do you want this one or that one? Well, that one. See how easy that was? One of my favorite ways to use this is a couple of ways. One is in scheduling. Somebody says, hey, let's get together. I want to talk about, blah, blah, blah. You know, we want to talk about buying or selling or investing or whatever. I say, great. Let's get our schedules connected so we can make this work. So just so I can follow along. This is tricky. Just so I can best accommodate you, would you prefer to meet on a weekday or a weekend? And they say, I'd prefer to meet on a weekday. Great. Would you prefer to meet early in the week or late in the week? I'd prefer to meet early in the week. Okay. Would you prefer a morning or an afternoon? I'd prefer an afternoon. Okay. Early in the week, afternoon. Great. I have a Monday at 2:00 and I have a Tuesday at 1:00. Would either of those work for you? Sure, I'll take the Monday at 2. What did I do? I narrowed them down by giving them a couple of easy choices, and I literally focused them down to the openings that I had in my schedule. Okay, how about when you're showing houses to a buyer? All right, let's go look at house. So I like to pre-frame this too. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer. Out of the 10,000 houses on the market, based on your finances and how far you want to commute and how many square feet you need and that you want a one-story and a pool and whatever, I've narrowed down out of the 10,000 houses on the market, I've narrowed it down to these 5 houses that meet all of your criteria. Isn't this exciting? Your next house is likely in this list of 5. Isn't that great? I know. Let's go look at house number 1. So we go look at house number 1, and I'm literally writing notes. This is the one with the blue kitchen and the slate fireplace and the daylight basement and the cool backyard. And this is the one that had the mural of the blah, blah, blah on the ceiling, and they loved it. Right at the end of the thing, at the end of the showing, I say something like, I'm just curious. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this house? And they go, yeah, it's good. It's an 8.5. Great, 8.5. Perfect. Let's go look at house number 2. Right, then here's where the double bind comes in. We look through house number 2, we see everything we see, and at the end, I ask them the same question. What do you think? What'd you like? I'm writing notes. And at the end, I go, okay, here's the question. Catch the embedded command too. If you were going to buy a house today, would you buy house number 1 or house number 2? And they go, yeah, house number 1. House number 1, definitely over house number 2. Great. I put a big X through house number two and cross it out. Let's go look at house number three. Same thing. We're at house number three, same thing. Repeat the whole process at the end. Okay, so if you are going to make an offer today, would you make an offer on house number one or house number three? And they go, yeah, house number one, still better than house number three. Great, I cross out house number three. Let's go see house number four. Same thing at the end. Okay, if you are going to submit an offer today, would it be house number one or house number four? And they go, oh, house number four. Oh, man, this is even better than house number one. Fantastic. Well, we only have one more to look. We only have one more to see. Let's go see house number five. So we see house number five. Same thing happens at the end. All right, this is the last one. So considering that your dream house, these are the five that meet your criteria. These are the best five matches for you. So can you envision yourself living in one of these houses? Would you rather move in to house number four or to house number five? And they say, man, house number four, it's just amazing. It just spoke to us. Great. So should we make an offer right now, or do you want to go back to house number four and see it again? We'll make an offer from the kitchen counter. Yeah, let's go see it again. Okay, good. We're back in house number four. They see it again. Right now they're even more excited. All right, so I really have one last question for you. House number four is listed at $298,500, and it's been on the market 8 days. The question is, do you want to make an offer on this house and hope we get it, or do you want to just pay them their price and don't take any gambles? Let's just pay them their price. We've looked at a bunch of, this is a good house, let's just pay them, let's buy it. Great, sell out the paperwork. So what was that? That was just a bunch of double binds. Do you want this one or that one? That one. This one or that one? This one. Between this one, right? They're just easily picking this one, that one, that one, this one, that one. And then what did they pick at the end? Where should we write the offer, here or there? There. Great. Now that we're here, should we make an offer or should we just buy it? Should we just pay the price and not gamble? All that is a string of double binds. Now, it's exactly the same thing, yet there's another term for a double bind when it's something that's a hard pill to swallow. We call that the lesser of two evils. So if there's something that's a hard pill to swallow, like you're trying to get your seller to reduce the price, you're trying to get a price reduction, that's something the seller doesn't want to do. So I have to give them two choices that are hard to swallow. And if one of them is reduce the price, then the other choice has to be harder to swallow. That's a lesser of two evils. That might be something like, well, I don't know, should we, based on what the buyers are telling us, should we reduce the price now and get it sold? Or are you okay to keep making mortgage payments on this empty house for another season? Oh, man, we should probably reduce the price and get it sold. So a lesser of two evils is just a negative double bind. Same thing, but it's in the negative. All right, so that was a lot to cover today. We did body language, rapport at the front. We did conditional bind, if pace, then lead. We did single bind, the more you pace, the more you lead. We did double bind, do you want this lead or that lead? All right, now I'm going to give you we're about to move into the most fun part. So before we do that, questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, anything. My favorite part about this is it steers me away from burying people in my opinion. Right? I got a rude awakening a few years ago. I went to list this house that was in one of the best neighborhoods in town. And this house had been remodeled. The current owner had gutted it and remodeled it. And I'm not kidding. In my opinion, it was the most beautiful kitchen I have ever seen. It was exactly my taste. It was well done. It had a built-in fireplace and a waterfall in the hall. I mean, the house was magnificent. And my opinion was, holy crap, this house is magnificent. He's like, well, I remodeled it. I'm like, you did an unbelievable job. Are you kidding? This is amazing. And that was my opinion. And his opinion was, oh, this little piece of crap? Yeah, this is our little summer getaway home. Ugh. Yeah, we're just going to unload this thing, and yeah, we're going to move into the big house. I got a really rude awakening that my opinion was uniquely mine. And even though my opinion was my opinion, and it was authentic, and it was also meant to be a compliment because I thought the guy did an awesome job, my opinion was totally out of rapport. Because he was like, oh, this house is only 2,000 feet. This is like the garage. So these tools this week, relationship and choice, remove me from spewing my opinion. Why? Because nobody cares about my opinion. All right, questions, comments, anything? Wow, you guys are quiet today. All right, so here's the trick. We have
Joel.
I went fast on purpose. Yes.
Real quick question back on the double binds. Is that set up with a pace, or is you just there's no pace involved in that, or?
Yeah, a double bind is a choice between two leads.
Right.
Or do you want this lead or that lead? Do you want to sign the contract now or tomorrow?
Okay.
Do
you want to
list for 6 months or 8 months?
Got it. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And truly, the double bind is really, I mean, it's really the same thing. So the two choices are the same. They're slightly different flavor of the same, right? Do you want a scoop of chocolate or a scoop of vanilla? I'll take a scoop of vanilla. Right, both choices are a scoop of ice cream. So one of the things that I, believe it or not, have had really good success with is at a listing appointment, I might say something like at the end, so are you ready to hire me right now? Or should we just fill out the paperwork so I'm legally authorized to market your property? Yeah, let's market the property. Okay, good. Here's the contract. Right, it's the same thing. Great question. Anybody else?
So, Joel.
Yes.
If you're in this gorgeous kitchen and you're touring the home and you don't want to offer your opinion because it may not be a pace, what should you do when you're walking around the house?
Ask questions.
So in your kitchen example, what could you have said? Ask.
I might say, wow, this kitchen looks very new. Was it recently remodeled? Yes, it was. Great. Will you tell me about it? Sure. This looks like marble. That is marble. That happens to be marble we had flown in from Brazil. Wow, great. And these appliances look new as well. Will you tell me about them? Yeah, these are stainless steel, blah, blah, blah. That's a Miele. This is a Fisher Paykel. Check this out. There's a warming drawer right here. Okay, Fisher Paykel, dishwasher, warming drawer. How long ago was this done? Last year. Oh, last year. Perfect. And this flooring, this looks like it looks like tile. That's actually stone. Yeah, that's actually imported travertine. Okay, imported travertine. Right, and I'm just taking notes. So, I mean, I believe that it's totally okay for me to say, yeah, great job. Wow, I like it. That's beautiful. I think this is going to sell well. So for me, I think the difference is saying, yeah, I think this kitchen shows well. And, wow, it's clean, it's open, it's bright. I think it shows well, which is I'm giving an opinion as a real estate broker on what I think it's going to, how I think it's going to show for a buyer walking in the door. Oh, wow, big window, nice and bright. We can turn on all these lights, big counter space. Yeah, this shows really well. I think this is going to do well. That's my opinion on what they want is the marketing. Versus if I say, oh, my God, look at this granite. That's the most beautiful shade of green I've ever seen. Where did you get this? Right? That's not why they're hiring you. You feel the difference in those two?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. And so I want it to be totally client-centric, totally focused on the client, what the client needs. All right, so we just have a few minutes left. Here's my request. Right now, while we're on the call, my request is that you write, so your home play is to write these out, but I'd like you to do one, and I'd like you to do one right now. So write them like this. Choose either a single bind or a conditional bind, and then end it with a double bind. So put them together. Write a single bind double bind or a conditional bind double bind. A single bind double bind might sound like this. The more money you hope to make for the house, the sooner we should get it on the market. So should we post it today, or do you want to wait until Friday? Something like that, perhaps. A conditional bind double bind might be something like, if you want the most money for the house, then we should get it on the market right away. So should we make it go live this week, or do you need the weekend to get it prepped and we'll do it on Monday? The kind of name, just two different structures. Okay, so I'd like to hear yours. So please write one. Write a single bind. By the way, the double bind is always, well, not always, for me, always last, always the close, always at the end. You want to fill out the paperwork with your pen or my pen? But I don't care. In either case, we're filling out the contract. Right? It's always the choice at the end. You want to do it this way or that way? Okay, so single bind, double bind. The faster you want your business to grow, the more dedicated you'll want to be to doing your truth about sales home play exercises. So are you going to write 10 of these a day? Or are you going to double down and do twice as much to grow even faster? Either one's fine by me. Either do it all or do twice as much. Totally okay by me. If you're committed to making a difference in the world, as am I, and raising the caliber of salespeople worldwide, then you'll want to spread the word about the Truth About Sales course and tell other people about it. Right? Conditional bind. So you can either tell people about your personal experiences about it, or maybe just, you know, tag all your friends on the Facebook shares, so they get to see it too. Either one's good. Double bind.
Hey, Joel, Don Hammond's from Bellingham.
From Bellingham?
From Bellingham.
Let's hear it.
So my single bind is, the more money you would like to earn, the faster you need to set buyer's appointments.
Good. So with a downswing, the more money you want to earn, the more you need to set buyer's appointments. Downswing.
Got it.
Okay. Double bind.
The faster you set, it's the same first part.
Oh.
The more money you would like to earn, the faster you need to set buyer appointments. The faster you set appointments, the more sales you will close.
Great. So that was a bind that binds binds. That was two single binds together. Now wrap it all up with a double bind. So are you gonna be in here making phone calls for 3 hours a day, or are you gonna really push it and do four?
Got it. Perfect.
Right, wrap it up and give them a choice of two choices. Either choice moves them forward.
Got it.
So it doesn't
Perfect.
Make any difference which choice they take, they move forward. Great. Great example, Donnie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Joel?
Anybody else? Yes.
Two. If you want the most for your home, we should get it staged. Should I set up the consult, or will you call her yourself?
Perfect. I love it that was so short. By the way, when you practice these, write them as short as you can, just like that. The shorter they are, the more power they hold. That was perfect. If you want the most money, then we need to get it staged. Do you want me to call them or you call them? Perfect.
If you want to stop paying these high taxes, we need to adjust the price to get it sold. Should we reduce it by $50,000 or $75,000?
Oh, you must be in a big market. That's a big price reduction. Perfect, just like that. Right? If you want to save this money, then we need to reduce the price. Should we reduce it by this much or that much? Do you care which one she chooses? No, either one is a solid price reduction. Very good. Very good. Nice job, Debbie. Nice job.
Hi, anybody Joel. Else? Amanda in Bothell.
In Amanda where?
In Bothell, Washington.
Where's that? Oh, wow. I don't know that town. Okay. Let's hear it, Amanda.
The faster you want your home to sell, the sooner we'll need to get it listed. So would you like to meet on Monday at 2 or Wednesday at 11?
Okay. That was perfect structure and I think a little too much. So on your double bind, so instead of trying to push them into those two time slots, for the double bind, say, read it to me one more time. So read it again, but take the times off. Use the days, but no times. Let's see how that sounds.
Okay. The faster you want your home to sell, the sooner we'll need to get it listed. So would you like to meet on Monday or Wednesday?
Better. Yeah, that's better. The other one feels like a little too pushy, right? So you'd say, would you like to meet on Monday? Or, you know, I have some space open on Wednesday. And then I like to wrap it up by saying, which is more convenient for you? And they go, you know, Monday be more convenient for me. Great. Then I come back with another double bind. Great. I have a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock. Which is easier for you? The 4 o'clock would be easier for me.
Perfect.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Would you like to drive to my office, or should I just fax you the contract and save you a drive? Right? Two options. It doesn't matter which one they choose. All right, everybody. We are, according to my clock, we are top of the hour. We're 1 minute over. So, as usual, thank you for being here. Thanks for your powerful listening. And I remain committed to raising the bar of salespeople by having salespeople come from contribution. The more that we as a sales community focus on serving, making a difference for, contributing to, helping people, the more we raise the bar in the sales community, and the more that the good people like us dominate the industry, and the more that the pushy, horrible, icky salespeople get flushed out, right? They're the ones that are giving us a bad name. So thanks for doing this work. Thanks for helping me push this forward. Thanks for spreading the word about this work. My goal is to raise the bar for all salespeople. So thanks for helping me with that. And we have a whole new topic and a whole new thing next week. So practice, practice, practice these. If you don't master them, who cares? The goal here is to develop some powerful new habits. And next week, we'll do some more new habits. So there you have it. All right, everybody. Have an awesome week. We'll see you. Yeah, bye, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you next week.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody. Go get 'em.